This call is being recorded.
Come into your presence and to exercise the privilege that it is to be before you. We need your mercy. We need your grace. We need your power. We need everything that you have for us. Cause us to walk in your goodness and your glory. To stand up in your righteousness. And be the kind of people that you would have us to be. We ask you to help us remove all weights and sins that will beset us as people. And then on top of that, Lord, by your might and your holy power, we ask you to come in and touch our bodies, our illnesses, our sicknesses, our situations that we need to come to you with. And then, Lord, help us to grow up. Help us to mature so that we can come to you for the needs of others, for the needs of the lost, for the needs of the dying, for the loss of the perverts, for the loss of the murderers, for the loss of every one of these people that don't have you, the loss of life, the loss of liberty, the loss of eternal life, that we can come to you for them. And then, Lord, when we come to you before them, when we come to you for them, we ask you, if they won't heed your word, if they won't hear your warning, be righteous in your judgment. Do what you said that you would do, so you will continually be faithful. And for those that were here, help us to be a light to them and salt to them so that they can see, that they can know, and they can be preserved by what you have given us. The comfort that you comfort us with, help us to be able to comfort others. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. I'm sending this person right here, letting him know that we made it, so he can know that it's time if he wants to join in. One, two, that's it. And make sure that my phone is off. And during this, I'm going to unmute it. So is it okay now on the conference line?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. If you will, let's turn to Hebrews. We're getting ready to go right back into the Word of God where we need to be to do what needs to be done. Hebrews chapter 13, that's where we were on Thursday night. I had anticipated finishing chapter 13, but I saw that when I got to studying, it would be a total impossibility to be able to finish this chapter. The Lord allowed me to see such magnificent juice, such magnificent wonder in this particular passage. And it was a hard passage. It was a hard passage to be able to extract that which I extracted from it. And if it's a benefit to you all, wonderful. If it's not, I really felt that this is what God allowed me. I don't need the light up there. But, you know, the computer has a background light, so I get to cheat. But the thing is that I saw something in it that it kept me. I couldn't get away from it. And because of that, I said, this must be what I need to teach. And if it's not, that's what I spent my time on. So that's where we're going. Today we're going to talk about Jesus as the revelation of acceptable priestly worship. That's what we're talking about today, and if you don't know what that is, hopefully by the time we finish today, you will. Jesus is the last revelation of God. He is the revelation of acceptable priestly worship. What did you say, Dre? The acceptable priestly worship is what God is looking for in his people. That is what he looked for in the children of Israel. He made them a royal priesthood. I could say he royaled them, but he made them a royal priesthood. He came as the epitome, the perfect example, the last revelation of priests, of priesthood and acceptable worship. Those of us that have followed the Bible, we know that often the priesthood would offer sacrifices that were not acceptable. We often knew that they would get and offer sacrifices and would not follow God. We know that sometimes they would go and offer sacrifices in places that God did not want. So the writer to the Hebrews is letting these people know, not only is Jesus the revelation of God insofar as truth, insofar as A being the Amen, insofar as being the righteous judge, better than Moses, better than the angel, but when it really comes down to it, when he suffered as the God-man, God that was fully encapsulated in man that did not use his powers as God, he actually lived a complete sacrificial life that was acceptable. Now, Paul teaches the people in Romans 12 and 1, and that's not on the board because that's just in the hard drive in my head, that you're to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That is your reasonable service. Some translation would say your reasonable service of worship. Now, what I need us to understand, when we want to know what that is and how it operates, should we not look to God's revelation of it? Blessed everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. In chapter 12, we remember that the writer told these people in the midst of their storm, what I'm talking about, the storm, the rain comes on the just and the unjust, right? Now what Matthew chapter 7 said? It said that the rain, not 7, but I'm talking about the storms and the flood and all that, those that build a house on rock, those that build a house on sand, the storm comes, the rain comes and beats, those that are built on rock stands. The writer says, looking unto the author and of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the and despised the, and where is he now? He endured the humiliation. He endured the degradation, and he despised the shame. You all think you're shaming me? I despise any shame that will come out from doing God's work. I despise it. Because the shame of man does not work the righteousness of God. But the shame of man brings out the wrath of God, because they crucified and killed him and God raised him up. He despised the shame of man because he was looking forward to the exaltation of God. You better hear that. When people try to shame you, then learn to despise the shame, because you're looking for something. As the young people say, or the old people used to say, because they didn't get to school and we had, they say, more better. Two comparisons. More and better. Let's go back to where we were on Thursday. On Thursday, we had verse 8. It said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we talked about Jesus being the doctrine, the revelation of the doctrine of God. Why is that? Because not only is his words the doctrine or teaching, but his life is doctrine and teaching. Everything about him is teaching. Now we are looking at him as being God's revelation of acceptable priestly worship. And if we are to model our lives after the doctrine that God has set forth in his son, how much more should we model our lives after acceptable priestly worship from him? And we went to verse 9, and our own purpose did not deal with all the way the last part of verse 9. It said, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. They can be the same, but they don't have to be the same. Don't be carried away with different kinds of doctrines. And don't be carried away with strange doctrines. Different kinds of doctrines could be a doctrine that God had set up that you misunderstood. It could be a doctrine that was set up where there was a priesthood and a tabernacle and all of this. And this is what was set up for a particular time. But I was always pointing to that I wanted to dwell with man. So that would be a different kind of doctrine if it goes and clashes against what the Lord Jesus said. It would be the same thing as continually driving, riding a bicycle with training wheels, and now you're trying to get out there in that thing that Lance Armstrong, what is it called, the Tour de France? And you out there trying to ride the Tour de France with training wheels. That's strange. That's different. I would submit to you that when an individual would hold on to the training wheels or the things that were set up to point to Christ, the Bible said that if anybody teaches that, let them be accursed. As a matter of fact, Paul said there are people out here trying to teach the law. They don't even know what they affirm. Be not carried away with divers, different kinds. Because the Old Testament kind of was not different at that time. It was always pointing to one. But you thought that it was the end all, and that's not what God said. That is different than what he said. As a matter of fact, to make it completely clear and not beat that horse all the way like I'm trying to beat it back to life, is that the gospel was always going to be set for all mankind, because God told Abram, through you and your seed, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. It's not an afterthought thing. And then it says, and strange doctrine. We have a multiplicity of strange teachings today, but we've talked about who is the doctrine of God. So he said, it is a good thing that your heart be established with grace. If our heart is not established with grace, we don't know the doctrine, and we don't know what God is all about. And the Bible has taught us explicitly that of his fullness, we all have received grace for grace. What? That doesn't seem like a mistake. In other words, we need grace to even be able to receive grace. That's what John 1 and 16 says. Of his fullness, talking about Christ. We have experienced that. We have received it. And he gives us grace for grace. Gary and I have talked about it. I think it's Titus 2 and 12. The grace of God teaches you. It teaches to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Now that I have reiterated as much as I want to reiterate on what we covered Thursday about Jesus being the doctrine of God, the teaching of God, now let's move into him, his life, being the doctrine of God in showing that he is the revelation of true priestly worship, acceptable priestly worship. Listen to what he says. Let your heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them which have occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. I need you to listen to that verb, which serve. That means at that particular time when this was still written, this is before Jerusalem was destroyed and they still had the tabernacle. Verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. This is what we're going to work on today. Like I said, I determined that I was not going to finish this whole chapter because there's a lot of meat in here. Some of the things that people think about this particular verse, the latter part of verse 9, when it says not with meat, some people think that's talking about the ceremonial meats that are clean and unclean. And they want to weave that in. Then there are others that are talking about and will say that the meats are talking about the meats that will be allowed to be eaten by the people, say the peace offering, the thanks offering, the Passover meal. Those meats are able to be shared and eaten with the people. Then there are other offerings that we went through the book of Leviticus that the priest will be able to get a part of the right shoulder and different part of the meat, and that would be there. The word for that is called prebend or pay for doing this. And those animals that ate that, I mean, that were the beasts that were offered as sacrifice, those people that got to eat that, were they really profited by that? If the Bible has already taught us that there was to be another priesthood, that priesthood was to be done away with because there was a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, I would submit to you that the prophet that you would see would be a temporary prophet as a earnest money or a deposit till you get to the profitability of the one that is to come. In other words, all of their offerings and sacrifices never took away sin. But we've looked already and have seen Jesus in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, as being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that his priesthood is unchangeable. And it's not the blood of bulls and goats and of heifers and turtle doves that's going to take away your sin. It is him as the acceptable sacrifice of God, offered by himself as an acceptable priest, and his sacrifice is the one that's going to do it. It is not the priesthood that the people were still serving at that time that they partook of and ate then. The writer helps us narrow it down. You see, the high priest offered one sacrifice once a year. There were two goats. There was a scapegoat, and then there's the goat that is taken as a sacrifice, not only for the people, but also for the priesthood. When you say for the people, I mean the people that's not in the priesthood, although the whole nation is a priesthood, but there was a priesthood in the priesthood. And that blood was spilled, and he did it with the finger, the right finger, 7 times. Remember we talked about that? And that animal was killed, the blood was shed, but they didn't get to eat of that one. The sacrifice that takes away sin was never to be eaten by people. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the true sacrifice of God. And that blood of that animal, I mean, the body of that animal was taken outside the camp and burned. He was declared dead inside of the camp. They killed him. So look at what we have in this passage. It says, it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. I would submit to you that he is the one that brings the grace of God. He brought it yesterday, today, and forever. Today, I'm thinking of the time when it was written, and also for us. Not with meat. The priesthood, how did they get their money? They had a sacrifice, a sacrificial system that fed them, and they would get to get portions of different things that was given, and they would get a portion of the land. God was their portion. He said, it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meat, which have not profited them that have occupied therein. I believe the occupied therein is that priesthood. Now, you may find other commentaries that say differently. You may like it better, but it will not exclude the truth of what I'm saying. Understand what I'm saying. It will not exclude the truth of what I'm saying, but I know I have not totally exhausted it, because the way that this is written, when you see it, you know that he's making a big case. He's about to end his book. He's about to end his letter. And so now he's exalted. Jesus, now he's going back to your system and say, what profit has it done those that occupied therein? But he says, we have an altar. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. We have an altar that the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, they don't have a right to eat of this tabernacle. They don't have a right to eat of this altar. We have another altar. That's important. The altar bespeaks of worship. And this worship is inaugurated and it's made acceptable by Jesus Christ. One of the things that we look at when we say that we have an altar that they have no right to eat of, which serves the tabernacle, some people take that to say is that we get to share in communion. I won't exclude that. I will not exclude that we get to share in the communion. But what I will do is I'm going to emphasize the true communion. You see, you can have the communion, the bread and the wine, and do that to damnation because you have not entered into true communion and you really don't discern the body of the Lord. There is a true communion that when you do take the communion and you have participated and you are in true communion with him, you begin to understand that he is God's revelation of acceptable priestly worship, and you enter into that with him because as the high priest never serves alone. He has those that are under him. He is the high priest. If there's a high priest, you would think there's got to be some. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's work with what we have. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the holy place, into the sanctuary, by the high priest for sin, are burnt without the camp. They are taken to a place outside of the gate, outside of Jerusalem. They are taken out there, and this is to be an area that is set up to burn that. And for the sake of some, that's like an unclean area. This burning does not take place of the rest of the body of these animals like that. There's places sometimes when they would burn animals and they take the ashes to a place. If that place is set aside, that place would be holy, although it's still not clean for you to touch it. Listen to this. They are burned without the camp. The writer is saying, take all that in consideration. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, that he might cause the people to be set apart, that he might cause the people to be set in the position that they can be a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. I'm just quoting from Peter 2 and 19, 1 Peter 2 and 14, actually 2 and 19. He did that he could sanctify the people with his own blood. He suffered without the gate. I will submit to you that this is showing that this is a reproach. I will submit to you that this is showing the shame of the way that he suffered. Did you say, Tim, how do you get that? I'll read one more verse. Let us go forth, therefore, he suffered without the gate, therefore, let us, see how you can read it the same way, therefore, let us go to him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Listen to me carefully. If you really want to understand how Jesus is a revelation of God, showing what acceptable priestly worship is, you cannot be caught up in any other doctrine. You cannot be caught up in anything other than what God wants for us right now, and that's a perfect sacrifice that is perfect union with him. Any other thing is totally unacceptable before him, and the way that God has done it, mankind will find it to be a reproach. He will try to bring shame to you for that. He'll tell you it's stupid. It makes no sense. There is some other kind of way that you can go besides God. You don't have to just do it that way. You can mix something else with it. But he said, let us go with him outside of the camp, outside of Jerusalem, outside of the tabernacle worship, outside of that which was given to point him. Let us move outside of the cocoon and learn to fly. There is no caterpillar that starts out as an egg and goes around like a little worm. It's called a caterpillar. That when he weaves that cocoon that's inside that little case that will live forever in that, the cocoon is to protect it until the time it comes out to fly. The same caterpillar, if you take the wings out, it'll look like the same kind of caterpillar. It'll just be a little black. I know I've taken wings off them as a boy. A little turn on myself. We have to understand, as the people of God, come outside of the caterpillar's cocoon. Come outside the restrictions that was given. It's time to grow up. Time to grow up. Time to move toward maturity. And that means outside the camp. Acceptable worship of God, Rich, is the kind of thing that will cause reproach. That will cause shame. If you're going to follow that which was modeled, we enter into his reproach. We enter into his shame. It's not about you getting this house. It's not about you getting this car. It's not about you walking around calling yourself be anointed and no one can touch you with your bodyguards. That's a damnable anointing. Jesus didn't have it. The only time he told somebody to quit clinging to him is when he said he had to go ascend to his father. When he came back, he said, stick your finger in my hands. Thrust it in my side. You got people with a bastardized anointing that makes them above their brethren. They got to have better cars than their brethren. They got to have planes where their brethren don't have it. They got to have 5, 6, 7, 8 houses more than their brethren. Their bank accounts have to be more than their brethren. As Deuteronomy chapter 17 said, when God allowed a man to be king or to be over his people, which is the same thing, don't multiply to yourself horses, houses, lands, and fields. Don't make yourself over your brethren. Here is our example. Here is God's model in revelation of Jesus Christ. Instead of him exalting himself, he allows himself to endure the cross and despise the shame, and he suffers outside the camp. Do you really want Jesus? Do you really love him? Are you willing to go outside of the camp of regular religion? Are you ready to go outside the camp of what you call your social cultural religion and get with what God said? That's acceptable worship. He said in the book of Hebrews, I delight to do thy will, O God. He said, it's written to me in the volume of the book. It is written of his people in the volume of the book. Verse 13, let us go forth therefore. That's not asking. Don't let the word let us fool you, okay? Don't do it. When he said, let us go out to him, it's hard. Before I get through today, you're going to see it's going to be hard. But guess what? Without doing it his way, it's still hard because you're going to have the full consequence. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. You know, when you start thinking about that, I was actually reading, but I guess I hear myself reading in my head. Linsky talked about it. Listen to this German Lutheran talk about this passage. Just a little bit I want you to hear. It says, the Jews cast Jesus outside the gate like a criminal. Do you want to go out to him? Do you want to really bear his reproach? Are you really understanding that the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, he gave you all those that got what we would call the victory, but after that he showed you those that was tortured, destitute, afflicted, tormented, that lived in dens and caves of the earth. He went there before he went to Jesus. He could have done it the other way, showed you the ones that suffered and then showed you the ones that had what we call victory. He showed you that God sets the race for all of us. The race that was set for Jesus, they treated him like a criminal outside of the gate. And listen to what the Bible says in Leviticus 24 and 14. You can write it down if you want to. You don't have to. I'm just reading you what Linsky said. I thought it was good, and I said, I'll share it with you. When he's giving them instructions, he says, bring him forth that have cursed. If someone has run their mouth and cursed without the camp, let all that heard him lay their hand upon his head, and let the congregation stone him. We don't even want him inside. This is a shame. This is shame. This is retribution. Take him outside of the camp and kill him. Listen to Deuteronomy 17 and 5. Then you shall bring forth that man or that woman has committed this wicked thing unto the gate. Even that man and woman shall you stone with stones until they die. A false witness that was going to have somebody put to death. Any individual that has done any crime, shame. Take them outside the gate. Are you seeing how the writer is saying, let us go outside the gate and bear his reproach? He's already told you in chapter 12, he endured the cross and despised the shame. Now he's telling you to let brotherly love continue, because you might think your brother is messed up because he's enduring something. Do you want to be a part of Jesus? Being outside the gate is not something that's nice. Galatians 3 and 13, Linsky talks about, but we already know it. Cursed is every man that's hanged on a what? This is a reproach of Christ. This is acceptable priestly worship, that you stand for God. And when you stand for God, the host of sin will press hard to draw you from your rightful place in the sky. What do you mean in the sky? Our citizenship is supposed to be in heaven. Do you really want to do acceptable priestly worship? Because right from the front, I'm telling you now, before you start doing anything, understand what it entails. Count the cost. Don't start building the tower and not know if you got enough to finish it. Brother JC going to build something for me. He sent me a list of what needs to be done. I count the cost. And then the cost will be labor. It might, something else might come up. If you're going to build, count the cost. You're going to be a priesthood for God? He's telling these writers to count the cost, because you all are in the midst of the storm and you might turn back. Listen to what it says, how the cross intensified the idea of being accursed. He says, and the shame that was combined therein. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ more than everything in Egypt. If you don't understand, Moses was reproached a lot. We'll see a little bit of that today. Moses was reproached. Moses was accused of trying to run stuff. Moses was accursed. Yes,
God is out here to die. We ain't got no meat. All we got is this light little manna. We tired of this manna.
Let us get us somebody else. Because Moses is out here to destroy us. And let us get us our own head and go back to Egypt. Third chapter of Hebrews told us that the Holy Spirit said, don't harden your heart like they did. I left their carcasses in the wilderness. This is not optional stuff. And it says, listen to this. We have the same word here, his reproach. All of the vilification heaped on Jesus, the curse of the cross, the crown of thorns. I think Anne was listening to something one day. I don't remember, but yeah, I happened to be watching some of the stuff she was listening to, and the man was saying that even when God allowed Abram to offer his son Isaac, the ram that was caught in the thicket was had thorns around his head. I said, I said, that's so pretty. The Bible's just so full of good stuff. It says, and every other indignity belongs here to us. Romans 8 and 17 just says, if we're children, then we're heirs. Joint heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 5, for the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so that our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. In Philippians, Paul says, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in the body. Listen to what else he says. And that, actually, that was 2 Corinthians 4 and 10. I was reading from Linsky. Linsky says in Philippians 3 and 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Feel this. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The same writer says we need to be made conformable to his death. This is acceptable. This is acceptable priestly worship, that you, whatever the race is set before you, that you do it. That was the race that was set before Christ, and the race that's set for us is to be made conformable unto his death. Endure the cross, go outside the gate, and bear his reproach. I'm not going to listen to a Rick Warren gospel to tell me that everybody got to like me and I got to change God's word to make them like me. I want to be made conformable to God's revelation of acceptable priestly worship. There is an unacceptable priestly worship where you bless people and you can do a genuflex. Watch this. Head, chest, right, and left. That doesn't bless me. Because you do that little cross over your body. And blessings being where God wants me to be when I'm supposed to be there and doing acceptable worship to him. Bless his everlasting name. The last one that is in that is Peter. 1 Peter 4 and 13. Linsky says, and remember, Peter's telling these people before he dies, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, that you may be glad with exceeding joy. As I thought about that, I thought about when we were going through the book of the Revelation the first time. Listen to what the Hebrew people must have been going through. I'm going to be able to show you in 1 Thessalonians what the people were going through to endure the cross, to go outside the gate, and what Paul had gone through. If you read the whole chapter by yourself sometime, you'll be able to taste it. But listen to this. Paul says, for you brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord, Jesus and their own prophets. And have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. God is reaching his limit with them. But the letter to the Hebrews, this letter will let you know, written around the same time, that the Jews are the ones that attack the other people that want to believe, that want to endure the cross like he did, that want to despise the shame. The Jews are the ones that did this, and they did it to Christ outside the camp, and they're doing it to us. And Paul said, they're doing it to me too. And Thessalonians, they're doing it to you too. They are doing this. This is a part of the suffering. And they got a strange doctrine. Don't want to let people get married. Don't want to do this. You can read the whole list of what they forbid. But he said, God's watching. I brought that verse in for you to see that these Hebrew people were going through some things. These people that were first brought to God through the teaching of Paul, they suffered. But Paul said, the wrath of God has come on them to the uttermost. And those that know anything about the history of the first century know, within a few years, God had destroyed that whole city, Jerusalem, the tabernacle, and those that did those kind of things to his people. Now let's move on in verse 14. I'm going to read 13 again and move to 14. Let us go forth therefore without the camp, bearing his reproach. Yes, go to him outside without the camp, bearing his reproach. I hope that you are all able to just taste that that's deep. That's something that if you're going to call yourself a child of God, expect it. You will not be a priest of God and be a priest of men at the same time. You can't do that. If you're a priest of God, you're a priest to men, not a priest of men. It makes a difference which preposition you use. And then it says, for here we have no continuing city. Jerusalem is not the continuing city. There's a new Jerusalem that Paul taught. Well, I keep calling it Paul, the writer of Hebrews talk about in chapter 12, verse 22. Galatians talk about a new Jerusalem. And Revelation said there's a new Jerusalem. We have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We want to endure the cross too. We want to endure the sufferings too, so that we can share in that inheritance that he received in chapter 1 of Hebrews. We want to share in his glory where he sat on the right hand of the Father. We want to be the express image of the person of Christ. We want to have acceptable priestly worship to God because that's what he did. So therefore, verse 15 is where we're going to spend the bulk of the rest of our time. But we had to get there first. He didn't just preach and do nothing. He is a priest that's unlike, that's unloved, that bears reproach, and he is one that the central form of worship that they had right then had no part to do in it. By him, verse 15 says, therefore let us offer. Whoa. That's a sacrifice. That is sacrificial terms. These are terms that are offered to a God by his priest. It says, by him, Christ, let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. This is what we're working with. Christ is offered sacrifice. Christ is the living sacrifice before God. Here, as him being the revelation of what a priest to God is acceptably, he says, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Now you move to what we have up on the board. When we're thinking about the sacrifice to God, the sacrifices were made and brought to the tabernacle. They were either animals, they could be grain, it could be wine. When it's animal and grain, when it's burnt on the offering and deals with sin, the smoke ascends to God. That's the picture of prayer. Are you with me? When the grain is sacrificed, the grain is burned, they burn it a little bit, sometimes they fry it. Sometimes they would boil it. We saw that in the book of Exodus. The smoke would go up to heaven, which is a type and a figure of being offered to God. Then there were times that God used something else instead of an animal. He would use incense. Incense would be offered to God. And we're going to talk about our life as being a sacrifice of praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips. I'm going to submit that the fruit of our lips is the incense before God. That our acceptable worship as priesthood before God, when we look at it from the aspect of him talking about the fruit of our lips, that's the incense. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us about our life being a sacrifice, but he specifically on this one said the fruit of our lips. That's where we're going to work from. Now, in Exodus chapter 30, let's go there. It's time to do work. You all ready to work? I've done all the work up until now. Now it's time for us to work. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. God is talking to Moses. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shall thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, four square. It shall be, two cubits shall be the height thereof, and the horns thereof shall be one of the same. Would you all rather I read this in a version where the English is better without the cubit? I can. Huh? Okay. She wants you to have read to read it. Go to Exodus 30 and 1. Probably read it in the NASB because I want you to kind of get an idea with the, if it doesn't deal with the word cubit, read it, Dre. She can still read it, cubit. We're just, well, because the thrust is that God got a certain way he wanted incense offered, not strange, not diverse, and we're still dealing with that. The heart be established with grace and not strange and diverse types of worship. Read it, Dre.
Okay. I'm an HDS because I don't have any
one. That's fine.
You are to make an altar for the burning of incense. Make it of acacia wood. It must be square, 18 inches long and 18 inches wide. It must be 36 inches high. Its horns must be of one piece. Overlay its top, all around its sides, and its horns with pure gold. Make a gold molding all around it. Make two gold rings for it under the molding on two of its sides. Put these on opposite sides of it to be holders for the poles to carry it with. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You are to place the altar in front of the veil by the Ark of the Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you.
I want you to see, up until now, everything is set up preparatory for the burning of incense. It was given in direct dimensions of how the altar for the incense would be made. It was not to be made any other way. It was not to be getting one from Baal, Asherah, Molech. I got my own. I don't even need your thoughts about how I want it made. Acceptable worship to God is the way that he wants. Need I say more? I don't even really want you to touch it. Put rings on it, and you can put staves in it, and you carry the pole. It's that sacred. And I would submit to you that since the author is saying to offer him the praise, the fruit of our lips, and I'm saying that that is going to be the same thing as the incense, there are certain things we should not allow to touch our mouth, certain type of conversation, certain kind of things to get into. But I'm not going to beat that. Go ahead now in verse 7. I want you to see how important it is.
Aaron must burn fragrant incense on it. He must burn it every morning when he tends the lamp.
I will submit to you that if we are not praying every morning, we are doing less than they did. Aaron had to burn incense every morning for the people, not just himself, but that's not just because he cared for the people. This is a directive of God. Somebody needs to be in my presence. Something needs to be making intercessions and prayers and thanksgiving for what I've done for you all, who I am to you all, and what you need to be done. It needs to be done continually. Read some more. Verse 8.
When Aaron sets up the lamp at twilight, he must burn incense.
In the evening, between the evening, do it again. Do it again. You've gone through all day. And I protected you all day, and now it's coming nighttime. You need my protection. I provided for you. And just, you're my priesthood. Your job is to keep the incense burning before me. And I'm telling you now that the writer is saying it's the fruit of our lips. And I'm going to tell you that the fruit of our lips is going to be likened unto the incense. The incense is a training wheel. Prayer, thanksgiving is the real deal. I would submit to you that as sacrificial priest to God is not optional. This is not an optional thing. He said, do it. And I'm just going back and showing you what they did under the training wheel. Under the training wheel, you might be able to get a bicycle up. Those of us that can really ride a bike, we actually can have the training wheels on and go fast because the training wheels won't touch it. When you go in corners, when you get in, you have a turn, the training wheels will slow you down. So without the training wheels, it should be faster, stronger, more agile, able to do more things. How much then should we, when we offer the sacrifices of our lips, when we go outside the camp, should our prayers be more effectual and more fervent than burning the incense? I'm just asking. Read some more, Dream.
There is to be an incense offering before Yahweh throughout your generation. You must not offer unauthorized incense on it, nor a burnt grain, or a burnt or grain offering.
I want you to go back and just remember now. I want you to remember what we be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. How much more prayers? Well, I'm going to pray to God that you divorce your wife so I can have you. What kind of instance is that before God? I'm going to pray to God that he let this person die because he said something against my child. What kind of offering is that before God? That's strange. I'm going to pray to God that he bless all the Muslims, that we and the Muslims and the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons, that we can all come before the Pope and we can offer this strange prayer for the oneness of God to be upon us all in our own type of worship. How much did God show even under the training wheels? Don't do me that way. Was I clear? Was I clear, Rich? Was God clear? Because me being clear is not good. If I'm clear, God's not. God said, don't do that. Don't give me no strange incense. And we do that stuff. Worship with anybody. Always lead to God. Such a damnation to be placed upon a family. We finish reading 9 and we'll move on.
You must not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt or grain offering. You are not to pour a drink offering on it.
In other words, keep me separate. Keep me separate from your opinion. Keep me separate from that which I don't authorize. Keep me separate from the other nation. You are to be my priesthood, and this is what's acceptable to me. Now I want to show you, since we're talking about Jesus being the revelation of God, acceptable priestly worship, I want to show you what priestly worship is in 3 places that's not accepted before God. Look at Leviticus chapter 10. Start reading at verse 1, Dre.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron.
These are people that were dedicated, consecrated, had been set apart for days to come before God and burn the incense. Am I right? Read it, Dree. It's so pretty.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before Yahweh.
I need you all to understand, when we're going to be using the word censer, there's an altar of incense, and there's a container called a censer. And they would put the fire in the censer, then put the incense in that, okay? So when Dree is reading that, then Nadab and Abihu, they had the censer, they put the strange fire in it. This is going to be like offering God a strange prayer. A prayer, a different kind of worship. Now, Dree, if you'll read that again, what they did to censer, I'll quit talking.
Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from Yahweh and devoured them. And they died before Yahweh.
God killed them for what you would consider to be a light infraction. It was a strange fire that they were offering meat or sacrifices for sin. This is how important the incense, which represents prayers coming before God, was. Don't pray with you don't play with prayer. Don't offer God strange prayer. I believe with all my heart, and I know that some people will hate it, but I believe that if I'm praying before God in the spirit, knowing what God's word is, and I start going bubble, 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 coming to Honda, I believe that's a strange prayer. I believe it's strange. I don't believe that that's prayer in the spirit. I believe prayer in the spirit is that I'm praying like Jesus prayed, and that I'm praying like Paul said. I pray for your sickness. I pray for your health.
I pray that you would be one in God. I pray that you all would come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't believe that we should go before God saying and doing any kind of thing, calling it prayer, to sacrifice to God. I don't want to come to God offering him a sacrifice, an incense that he does not qualify or that he does not want. Now, if you don't like what I said, go back to the part that you can understand and that you go along with. But I'm not going to be praying something. I don't know what I'm saying like that before God. Because it's hard work. It's called sacrifice. It's called sacrifice for a reason. I thank you for that, Dre. Let me go on the strange sack, on the strange buying the incense. 3.
Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that Yahweh spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace.
Aaron held his peace. God said, I'm going to be sanctified. You're not coming before me as a priest, calling yourself, coming to me in the behalf of people, and going to them in the behalf of me, and you're going to come to me with anything you want to know. You will not. I will be sanctified, and I will submit to you. It's amazing. And I wouldn't have been shocked when all those different kind of people came up there with that pope and all those worshiping the shamans and all that doing that, if God had stroked some of them dead. Mm. It wouldn't have surprised me bringing all that kind of incense before him. Read some more, Dre.
And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp.
They have been disgraced. So much so, their disgrace got so high in God, he just had up the hill to the top of his head. Get them, they are disgraceful people. Get them out. They have been cursed by God. Now somebody say, I don't think they were cursed. Then you don't read well. Read some more.
So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his son, uncover not your head, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, who the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Yahweh has kindled.
You don't let a person, when you become a part of the priesthood of God, and you go outside the camp, and you offering the praise and sacrifice of God to your lips, you don't get upset when God does his judgment. When you see better than other people, you thank God for being righteous and still being sanctified. There are some, when you're in the service of God, there are some things you don't get to do that others that love God may get to do, and it's acceptable. Not that it's that which is primarily, set up, but as we reach maturity, there are certain things we do when you're as a child that you shouldn't be doing as a man. As Paul said, read some more, Dre.
And you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of Yahweh is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses.
I just wanted you all to be able to see how important. Because I'm gonna keep saying until you see it that incense is a representation of prayer and thanksgiving to God. I want you to see how it's done acceptably, and I'm showing you now how it's done unacceptably, and I'm telling you that's what the position that we're in is to be. Now you see up there number 16 on the board. We're moving to number 16. We're gonna have two more examples of that. This one is the example of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then we're going to have one more, and it's going to be Uzziah. I want you to see that this strange doctrine being carried away, and different kind of doctrines, God is not accepting all kind of prayers. He has set someone as the revelation of what it is to offer acceptable priestly worship, and our job is to do it with our mouths. So we need to understand every kind of prayer is not accepted. Read 16 and 1 numbers.
Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly.
First of all, it doesn't matter to God how many people you have, and it doesn't matter if they're men of nobility. When you go outside the camp and you're doing like God say, you're in the majority. I could beat that down, but that ought to be axiomatic, or that should be a self-evident truth if you've been in the Bible. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation.
Famous.
Men of renown.
Renown.
And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron.
250 against two. Shall we say three? And God. Read three.
And said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Yahweh is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of Yahweh? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face.
I need you all to understand this. Three little points in this. One, they were famous in the congregation. They were religiously famous. They were men of renown. They came against Moses. Moses is esteeming the reproach of Christ. In other words, I could buckle down and go along with you all, but God has given me one way, and I know what that one way is. Then the other one is saying, we know just as much as you do. We just as good to God as you are. And it really ain't no difference whether we do it our way or your way. That's what they're saying. I will submit to you that that's what the writer is going to make the people of Hebrew. So they would know this. They would know these things. And it's like, we just as holy. The ones that crucified Jesus, weren't they? We had no king but Caesar. Same one that stoned Paul. They were people, men of renown, Sanhedrin, chief priests, and elders. They are the ones that caused Christ to be dead. Now we understand Jesus and God has something to do with the two, but they carried it out with their wicked hand. Do you really want to follow and follow the modeling that God has given of acceptable worship? That's what's revealed. You want to go outside the camp and bear his shame? Moses is doing it way before Jesus comes in the flesh. Read it, Dream.
And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow, Yahweh will show who are his and who is holy.
Even back then, God had it set up, I can show you who my acceptable priest reads.
And will cause him to come near unto him.
And that means that whoever is an acceptable priest, that's what that is. When it says come near, that's what drawing near to God. When James talks about drawing near, that's a priestly term. And you actually get to come near God, because everybody can't do that. Please read.
Even him whom he has chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company.
Hold on. What are censers used for, Elijah and Naomi? What are censers used for? Right. That's what I need you all to know. I want you all to remember that it's when she mentioned censers. Censers are used to carry the fire to burn the incense. So this is very religious. This is like, these are the ones going to get to come to God, doing the praying, hear what God say, etc. So when they mention the censers, I don't want it just be words. I want you to have a picture. I don't care what the incense looks like in your mind right now. I just want you to know that they're doing the same thing that Nadab and Abihu, they had censers, they put fire in it. These men, they come later on the scene, not even 40 years later. What makes it so bad? God has smoked on somebody like that, and you forgot. Okay, Dreams, go back and read that again, verse 6, because I wanted to make sure that the children grasp what was going on.
This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before Yahweh tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of Yahweh, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. And he has brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also.
Let that ring in your mind. The priesthood of the priesthood had to do with burning the incense. And Moses said, all that you're all talking about, you take too much upon you. You all want to go up in the tabernacle instead of carrying it about and being just like the cherubim that God rides on in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. Now you want to take the priesthood. Now you want to burn the incense because you say so. And God has already chosen who he wants to come before him. And you want to take the priesthood. That's what Muhammad does. Want to take the priesthood. That's what Joseph Smith did with the Mormon. Want to take the priesthood. That's what you call that emerging church want to do. Take the priesthood. That's what don't judge your friends. Take the. We don't take nothing from God except his wrath when he brings it. Jesus is the revelation of acceptable worship. And we need to take his reproach outside the camp so that we can take our censers and offer the sacrifice of praise. Is this too deep? Read it, Dre. Read that 10th verse again. I want you all to make sure you hold that down. This is not just regular. This is not even talking about the animals yet. They are dealing with censers. The prayer. All right, read.
And he has brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against Yahweh. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him?
The little note on that is anybody that wants to come before God and do not go to God's revelation of acceptable priestly worship are coming against God. Did you grasp it? They wanting to do this in their what they're saying for God, to be God's people. And Moses said, you were not selected to do this. Therefore, you're coming against God. Why is that, Elijah? Because God is his way. He's not separate from his ways, neither are we his people. Somebody evil and wicked, and somebody tell you that he's a good person, he got a good heart, don't believe him. Our ways are who we are. Read the next verse, read.
And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up.
You can run your mouth, but you don't want to come and have this trial. Did you see how folk are? We ain't coming up. You know, tell us what to do, Dre.
Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us?
Do you hear that lie? God said, I'm going to give you a land full of milk and honey. No, we had it in Egypt when they were killing our children. When they would do whatever they want to do with us, and we were making drink with and have to keep the tally up without straw. Do you see that when you don't give God acceptable worship, when you don't know who you're supposed to be to worship God, like he said, you'll let lies be the truth to you. Read some more, Dre.
Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.
In other words, we ain't got what God said. We don't see what God said. And you are really a false prophet. And everything we've been going through, we ain't seen God's blessing. You going to put our eyes out because we can see that you don't know what you're talking about? You going to put our eyes like we can't see? Man, please. And that's the way it is with children of God. That's what the Hebrews would have had to face. We're being beaten. We're being mistreated. They killed Paul. They killed Peter. They killed James. Stuff is happening. You gonna put our eyes out? And God don't let us go unto him outside the camp and bearing the reproach. Because the race that is set for us
is the race that was set. Jesus, he is the model. He is the revelation of acceptable priestly worship. Bless God forever. Amen. Read it, Dree, because they're running their mouth now and say that you make yourself a prince over God did that. But you saying that he did it. Same thing they did about Jesus. Who you make yourself, son of God? Who do you make? You holier than thou? That's what people say. First of all, they don't know what the scripture is talking about. Yes, I'm holier than thou, because thou means you. You're not holy. I'm separated to God. Read, Dree.
And Moses was very wroth and said unto Yahweh, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before Yahweh, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow.
Make a strong note in your mind or on your paperwork for verse 17. Read.
And every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before Yahweh, every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer.
That means if this little cup right here is a censer, there are 250 censers being offered to God versus one. When you look at Christ outside the camp, all of those people that wanted him dead, all of Rome, all of the world, at that time and all of the world now, that goes against what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught. All of their senses, when they call themselves worshiping God in their own way, and everybody got their own way, and all these to God, and he is saying, no, it's not. I got God's pattern. I am the only one that is the offer acceptable worship to him. I am the only mediator, the only one that can give the incense that God wants. And those that are with me, all of the world versus one. That's what you got going on right there. You got a showdown. Read.
And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of Yahweh appeared unto all the congregation. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins.
A little note on this, when he told you don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines, you see, because whatever judgment come on them, it comes on you. Because God considers when you're with them, you against him as well. And you don't fight against God and win. Read, Drew.
So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then Yahweh has not sent me. But if Yahweh make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked Yahweh.
Strange syncretism when you mix religion and you offer it to God and say it's acceptable, that provokes God. That 13th chapter said Jesus Christ the same.
Yesterday.
And?
Today.
And?
Forever.
All right, then. He ain't stopped learning how to be provoked. I mean, not learning, but knowing how to be provoked. That's why they're warning the people. You can provoke him by saying, I ain't going to take no cross, no shame. Then what kind of sacrifice are you offering? Let me say it like the old folks say. I guarantee, G-A-U-R-A-N-T, I guarantee that you're provoking him. Read, Dree.
And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that
ground
was under them.
Open up, Gabriel. That the people that were running their mouth, and God opened up the ground and swallowed them. Read it. It's so pretty.
And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation.
The Bible has in King James pit. Let me give you the Hebrew word there. Sheol. They went to hell. Mm-hmm. Hell couldn't wait. Like, y'all going to do this to God and say that acceptable priestly worship is something that anybody can just ascribe to themselves? Hell was, tuck them up. Tuck them down where they needed to be. With their kind. Read some more.
And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, let the earth swallow us up also.
Yeah, because I believe deep down in your soul you were with that program. Read some more.
And there came out a fire from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men that offered incense.
Notice this. What happened to Nadab and Abihu? And it had to do with the worship that God elevates for us to do. This thing is more important than we think. Fire came and smote Nadab and Abihu. Now 250 more. We know it's less than 40 years. We know that. We know that because of the fact this happened with Nadab and Abihu when they first started doing the worship. This happened before they get promised that they're not going to get to go into the promised land. So at the most, it would probably be about 2 years. Wow. And they forgot. Read some more.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls. Let them make broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before Yahweh, therefore they are hallowed.
Dream, I'm going to let you go to Second Chronicles and show us, and I'm going to tell you the rest of what happened here. So after God smote and killed those people, the people got upset with Moses and Aaron, and they ran their mouth. And God got hot again. You see, when you remember back in Nadab and Abihu, if we had let them read, God told them, don't tear your clothes. Mm-hmm. Don't go against me when I deal with that. Mm-hmm. These people did the very same thing that Aaron wouldn't do. And they ran their mouth and said, y'all, when I hear y'all killed all these people. So God just started letting the plague go in and start killing folk left and right. So Aaron, the one who they had fought against, had to take his censer with fire and incense and run between God and the people to keep them alive. Because these people, they brought reproach on what God was doing. What are we going to do? I figure what we'll do is we'll stop at Luke 19:1 because after Chronicles, it gets pretty short what I got to read. And we'll just have to pick up on this on Thursday. But I needed this developed. Go ahead and do that 2 Chronicles 26, please, and 16. This is Uzzah. This is a king. This is when a government decides that they wanted this. They decide we want to take over the religious worship. We want to be the priest of God. Oh, yeah, the Bible is full of that. We had two people that was in the priesthood. They got too big for their britches and they turned and went the wrong way. Then we had people that call themselves in the congregation and know God. We men of renown, family members.
They got outside of God's will. Now we got a government, the top of the government that I'm going to take over the worship. Read it. Dream it for pretty. That's very good.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction.
Uzzah had done so many great things for God. Uzziah had done so many great things for God. And God had built him up. And he had, you know, he had just had victories. And God was pleased with him. And he was pleased with God. And God just kept what they call increasing him. But when he got strong, he did to Solomon. When Solomon got big, he turned against God. But this man didn't think he was turning against God, but he was. Don't you ever let a root of bitterness come in and you start to worship God your own way. Read it, Dre.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against God. He transgressed against Yahweh his God and went into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense.
Man, you know what? After reading stuff like this, you would not, if the tabernacle was around, want to even touch the incense. I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to get an altar or nothing unless I was in that priesthood. Because that's something God didn't like. In other words, everybody can't come to me with any kind of way. Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life? You better understand that that's a broad statement. It's all encompassing. I'm the only way to God. Don't be doing incense no other way. Read, Dree, please.
And Azariah the priest went in after him.
Azariah is Isaiah. Go ahead.
And with him 80 priests of Yahweh that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him.
You know what? There's two Azariahs. Uzziah is Azariah, and there's Azariah the king. So they made a differentiation. So Azariah goes in, but there are two Azariahs. Uzziah has two names. So just let it be that Azariah went in and Uzziah. Thank you. I just wasn't sure which one it was at the time. Go ahead.
And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Yahweh.
You run the government. You run the civil. When there's matters when somebody is stolen, you are the ones that make them pay it back. When there's someone that blasphemes, you're the ones supposed to put them to death. If somebody murders somebody, you're the one that determines that they should be put to death. You determine because you have a Levitical people telling you what to do, and God has told you to keep a copy, and you write down a copy of my laws all the days of my life. You are to enforce my justice. But it's not your job to do the priesthood. It's not your job to burn incense. Your job is to take care of the civil government for me under my godly legislation. You don't make it. But here he is intruding, insinuating himself into something that he should not, just like governments all over the world do, including the United States, telling you what marriage is. God tells us. Tell us what life is inside the room. God tells us. Tell us what true worship is. God tells us. Read, because I get upset. And they were sent to do
it
that.
It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God.
You state, government, civil authority, you are under God. You're not a God to yourself, a rule to yourself. You are under God. And it does not appertain unto you to determine how worship is to be done. That pertains to God and his priesthood. What did God, we learn our place and let people quit telling us how to serve our God and tell them when they're wrong.
Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because Yahweh had smitten him.
That's right.
And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death.
That's right.
And dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of Yahweh.
All right. Do you see three illustrations of how important the incense was and to be separate and sacred to God? And I've been telling you that Jesus is the revelation of true acceptable priestly worship. Now you have seen out of God's own word that that's not acceptable provokes him. He smites. And you said, but other people worship God and he's not smitting them. You don't know what all God has done to them. You don't know how much wrath they have treasured up. Because I read to you earlier that the Jews were doing certain things and they fill up and measure their wrath. But I do want you to at least just a little taste of the good side. 1 Chronicles 23 and 13, Dre. 1 Chronicles 23 and 13. I just have 23 up there. What does it say, Dre?
The sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before Yahweh, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name forever.
Whatever it is about incense, that is how they were to minister to God forever. Go to Psalms 141 and 2. I'm establishing what we saw back when God told them in Exodus 30 that they had to burn incense. Now I'm showing you that even when it comes down to the king, they reiterated that that was Aaron's job to do and his son. Psalms 141 and 2. What does it say?
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense.
Let my prayer, David said, be set forth before you as what?
Incense.
Uh-huh.
And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Now when you see people worshiping, they hold their hands up. A lot of people doing that because that's what they've seen other people do. But when you understand what David is saying, when I pray, when I lift my hands, let my prayer be as incense. Incense is as a prayer because it's what God set forth to be a visual. But David is saying, let my prayer be more than the visual. Let my prayer be as incense. But let it be the truth. David had that sense even in Psalm 51. Lord, if you wanted sacrifice, God knows, you know I could give it. But what you want is a humble and a broken and a contrite heart. You will not despise that. Now, as we begin to move into the incense being equal to prayer and it comes from the fruit of our lips, we can see that when we bear the reproach of Christ, that the sacrifice that is acceptable to the priestly people of God is our prayer before God. Not a prayer divorced from our life, but the emphasis here, the fruit of our lips. Read it one more time because this is a powerful scripture for us to know.
Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
While I talk about this, go to Psalm 69 and 30, please. Notice. There was a morning incense that had to be burned and one at the twilight in the evening. Let my prayer be as a sacrifice before you. Don't tell me David wasn't in the word, getting the juice out of God's word. Psalm 69 and 30, what does it say?
I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please Yahweh better than an ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs.
Notice. The fruit of his lips, go to Hosea 14 while I'm talking, Hosea 14, 1 and 2. Notice that David is saying, I will praise him with a song, singing, my mouth, my lips, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please him better than an ox. He's already said it as incense. The smoke from the animals went up as well. The praising of him from my mouth with a song and with thanksgiving is better than an ox. It's better than a bull with horns and hoofs. And this is what you will offer as the biggest sacrifice for your sin. The best of all the sacrifices, the most costly, does it equal to what comes from the fruit of our lips.
Can we say hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. Hosea chapter 14, 1 and 2. Taste the word of God. Taste it.
O Israel, return unto Yahweh thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to Yahweh. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips.
Do you see the writer of Hosea caught on the same thing? The sacrifices of our lips. Dree, you go to 1 Peter 2 and 5. I'll give you Luke 1 and 9 because I'm speeding up with time now. Now, there was a custom of a priest's office in the book of Luke where Zechariah went to burn incense before the Lord. They did it by course, and while he was doing that, God answered his prayer, and he was answering his prayer and told him he would have a son. Remember that? That's the Bible. What does 1 Peter 2 and 5 say, Dree?
Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Spiritual sacrifices with our mouths. This is what the Bible is talking about. So when you hear Paul say something like this in Ephesians 1 and 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Think about the incense. Think about the incense. When he say pray without ceasing, think about the incense, because that's what God wanted, always burning. If you want to know what pray without ceasing is, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Understand, what we got is an acceptable priesthood, and he says, go to him outside the gate, bearing the reproach. Acceptable worship to him is making our lives a living sacrifice, and that's by prayer and thanksgiving, the fruit of our lips. We better learn to let our lips come to God. Other than that, what we are doing, we are worshiping, and often we worship that we know not of. So, in conclusion, listen to Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. In conclusion, that means I'm stopping. It don't mean that I have exhausted, okay? Please understand that. It says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13, Paul says, for this cause we...
Thank we God without ceasing.
Incense. Thank incense. Read.
Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe.
Now, that we have seen, that we have tasted the word of God like this, we were able to understand back where we were in Hebrew. Don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. You can't. Because if you got a strange doctrine and it's different, what kind of incense are you going to burn? What kind of sacrifice are you going to make with your mouth? It didn't profit those people that were in the shadow or the foreshadowing. It is not going to profit you. He said, but we got an altar. We got an altar. I would submit to you that altar is our heart that has been taken over by Christ. Well, they have no right to serve the tabernacle. The body of those beasts were brought outside the tabernacle and burnt with outside the camp. He says, now Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, that's death, he suffered without the gate. Let us go forth unto him outside the camp. In other words, following his lead, bearing his reproach. We have no continuing city here. We seek one. But by him let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. Let us burn incense continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's acceptable worship. That's the acceptable worship. That we learn in everything give thanks. We learn to go to him. We learn to pray, just like incense continually burning. Somebody said, that means I can't talk without. You should be able to pray even when you're driving. Pray when you're sitting around. Pray while you wake up.
Then there should be times that you sit down and you just think in your mind, I want to take my censer before the Lord. Continual burning. Jesus modeled that. If I'd have went through and shown you the gospel, I could show you times Jesus didn't get no sleep, burning that incense. Well, if we look at this particular passage like we should, we would see that that's really the key to being able to suffer. That's the key of being separated from strange doctrines, is to know who we worship, who he is, and what to expect. But during the main time, we remember we got an altar. You want to give God a sacrifice today, or you want to hold back? Fruit of our lips, thanksgiving. You want to do God's work in the world for people? Fruit of our lips. It's called sacrifice. It's called an offering for a reason. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and your blessing. Teach us to sacrifice that which you want. Let our lips, let our words be like a sacrifice unto you. Greater than bulls, goats, or anything like that. But we offer the praise, glorifying and bringing honor to the name of your Son. We bring glory and honor to you. Please accept our sacrifice because we've listened to your words. Amen. 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 And even so, amen. Amen. We'll now go into discussion. If there's any discussion to be had, I thank you all for your patience with me.